Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, Text 3. Satalpat Turnam Udaya Kaloyam Iti Vipara Suti Griham Agat Turnam Praskalam Mukta Mud Dauja. Saha He King Kamsa Talpat from the bed Tornam very quickly Udhaya getting up Kala I am. Here is my death. The supreme time. Iti. In this way. Vivara. Overwhelmed. Suti Griham. To the maternity home. Agat. Went. Tornam. Without delay. Praskaran, scattering. Mukta, had become open. Murdaja, the hair on the head. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa immediately got up from bed, thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Kamsa, his hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. Purport. The word Kala is significant. Although the child was born to kill Kamsa, Kamsa thought that this was the proper time to kill the child, so that he himself would be saved. Kala is actually another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he appears only for the purpose of killing. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna in his universal form, who are you? The Lord presented himself as Kala, death personified to kill. By nature's law, when there is an unwanted increase in population, Kala appears. And by some arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, people are killed wholesale in different ways, by war, pestilence, famine, and so on. That time, even atheistic political leaders go to a church, mosque, or temple for protection by God or gods, and submissively say, God willing. Before that, they pay no attention to God, not caring to know God or His will. When Kala appears, they say, God willing. Death is but another feature of the Supreme Kala. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, at the time of death, the atheist must submit to the Supreme Kala. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes away all his possessions. Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham, and forces him to accept another body, Tata Dahantara Prapti. This the atheists do not know, and if they do know, they neglect it so that they may go away with their normal life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to teach them that although for a few years, when they act as a great protector or a great watchman, with the appearance of Kala, death, one must take another body by the laws of nature. Not knowing this, they unnecessarily waste their time in their occupation as watchdogs and do not try to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is clearly said, apropyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmane, without Krishna consciousness, one is condemned to continue wandering in birth and death, not knowing what will happen in one's next birth. Text again, Sakalpat Tornam Utaya Kaloyam Iti Vivala Suti Griham Agat Tornam Praskaram Mukta Mordaja. Kansa immediately got up from his bed thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Akanksa, his hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. Shri Prabhupada's favorite chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, he once said, was the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the universal form. And in the universal form, Krishna is displaying his features, Kala. And Arjuna is inquiring about that. Akyaki me ko bhavan ukrupo namostute deva ra prasida vigyati mishchami vantamadyam nahi parjanami tava pravritim. So Arjuna asks about this ugra karma, ugra rupa, this horrible feature of Krishna. Please tell me, what is your pravritim? You were a very nice person just a few minutes ago. We were both friends. You were submissively acting as my chariot driver. But now suddenly, another side of your personality has appeared that I've never seen before. And it's not a very nice personality. It's ugra, it's horrible. It's like your best friend suddenly turns into Dracula, and he's looking at your throat. And he says, I'm thirsty. Can I get you a cup of water? So Arjuna is asking, what is your actual, why did you appear like this? I mean, it's unlike your normal personality. How did this happen? So then Krishna says, Kalosmi lokashe krit pravrido lokansa mahartinha pravritak ritepin tvam nava vishanti sarve yivasti tapratnukeshi yoda. Time I am, and I have come to destroy all, kill all, everyone. Except for you, the five Pandavas, everyone here on both sides are going to be slain. Now if you went on the street, and someone took a knife and threatened to kill you, you wouldn't think it was a very nice person. But when we understand that Krishna is killing everyone, people start wondering, what kind of person is this? Generally, such people are labeled as terrorists, mass killers. And yet Krishna is inconceivably, imperceptibly, killing every living entity at every moment, taking away their lives, torturing them to death. And yet he's standing here on the altar with a big smile. Not even one tear in his eye comes out of compassion for the poor suffering souls that he's causing to suffer. Instead, he keeps on smiling, watching the whole thing. Even Srila Prabhupada, if we look at the picture of Prabhupada reviewing his book, the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and looking at the pictures of the living entities brought to hell to suffer different hellish punishments, Prabhupada has a big smile on his face looking at the pictures. Hey, look at this one. Wow. The vultures are tearing his intestines out. Wow, this is cool. So therefore people wonder, what kind of God creates a world where he kills everyone, life after life, and he tortures people who don't listen to him. Now many people don't listen to me, but I wouldn't torture them. Perhaps. But anyone who doesn't listen to Krishna, they wind up in hell and they get tortured. I mean, this is, what kind of ego does this person have? everyone has to surrender into them, into him, or else they get into trouble. So therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, it's not as bad as you think, if you surrender to me. Just get up, Krishna is telling Arjuna. Now you're hesitating to kill your relatives, but get up and do it. Tasmat tvam utishti yashola bas, and win fame for killing your relatives. If Arjuna didn't kill Bhishma, didn't kill Drona, didn't kill Karna, and all these other relatives and friends of his, then he would never have gotten a reputation. He would have fled the battlefield. We couldn't have had the Bhagavad Gita. We still would be reading comic books, probably. So luckily, Krishna told Arjuna, get up and start killing people. Do something useful. And win fame for doing so. They're already put to death by my arrangement. If you don't kill them, I'm not going to kill them anyhow. They're not going to get it. No one gets out of this place alive. As they say, no one gets out of the material world alive. Even to go to the spiritual world, we have to die. And after conquering an enemy, you'll enjoy a flourishing kingdom. There they put to death by my arrangement. And your Savasachi can be but an instrument in the fight. So this is a lesson that we're supposed to learn in the material world. It's a hard lesson, because we don't learn it very easily. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that I have, what is my problem when I chant Hare Krishna that I don't have any taste? I struggle to chant my rounds, if I can do that at all. What's the problem? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identifies the problem, the same exact problem Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when he said, Amaditvam Adanvitvam Ahimsa Shanti Arjavam. That the beginning of knowledge is Amaditvam, humility. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinada Peace Nichena, that one should become humbler than the straw in the street. So this is very hard for the conditioned soul, because of the false ego. One is thinking oneself to be very important. Although one, the soul, in comparison to Krishna, has no real relative importance, although for Krishna it's every soul is important, but we're infinitesimally tiny, or we're infinitesimal. Therefore, to consider ourselves to be extremely important based upon our material position, it's just like a prisoner in a jail cell who's done so many bad things against all living, other living entities, but he happens to have a nice jail cell and he's proud of it. Now he's in a jail. Some means he's a criminal. So how can he be proud of being a criminal? But people are proud nowadays. The biggest criminals are the ones who have the biggest positions in modern society. So therefore we can understand that modern society is simply a big, not only a prison house, but it's filled with very bad prisoners. So similarly, this material body is our prison, and it's meant to help us experience the threefold miseries. The body itself is torturing us. If we look around the room, we can see everyone is being tortured by their body. Everyone's sitting in a different position because their spine won't allow them to sit up straight. We think we're controlling the world and we can't even sit up straight. We can't even control one atom in the world. We may say, my dear Adam, please stop changing. But it won't stop changing. Nothing listens to us around here. So if you feel nothing, no one's listening to you, that's all right. No one's listening to anyone here. And the worst thing is that they won't listen to Krishna because Krishna is telling us that we're infinitesimal from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. That we're not in even control of anything in the material world. He keeps on changing. The only thing we don't even control ourselves. Even if we wanted to change, we can't. Because we're eternal. People want to disappear, but they can't disappear because they're eternally existing. So, therefore, humility is the main lesson we're all trying to learn here. And if you're feeling a little humble, it's not a bad sign. It's not that you have some problem, that you have a lack of, what do they call that? Self-esteem. Oh, before I came to the Hare Krishna, I was so proud. I had so much to be proud of. And I came to the Hare Krishna movement and they beat me. They beat on my pride until I became humble. And now I have low self-esteem. So I'm going to a psychiatrist. So I can build up my esteem again. No, actually the whole aim of the Hare Krishna movement is to put us in a position of realizing how humble we should be. Now in the spiritual world, if we ever go back there, which we hope we do, then we meet Krishna there and he's the most humble. He's God. He's in every atom, in all the universes. He's controlling everyone. He has unlimited happiness, unlimited opulence. And he's the most humble because he's in love with everyone. And therefore he feels himself insignificant compared to everyone, which are all non-different from him, but anyhow. And even more humble than Krishna is Srimati Radharani. She feels herself most unworthy. And if we get there, we think, hey, I finally arrived. I've come to save this cell, this place. Now the real happiness starts. It's not going to work like that. No one has to learn humility, but the humility not based upon material conceptions, but based upon spiritual conceptions. How wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna's devotees are. Or at least that we should not identify ourselves with our false ego and therefore believe ourselves to be something we're not. We may not know who we are or what we're supposed to be, who we actually do and what we do in the spiritual world, but at least we shouldn't identify ourselves with this gross and subtle body and start taking credit for whatever we think we're doing, which is actually being done by the material nature. Prakriti, Kriyamanani, Gunai, Karmani, Sarvashaha, Ahankara, Vimudatma, Kartaham, Iti, Manyate. Bewildered by the three modes, the living entity thinks himself to be the doer of the activities that are actually carried out by the three modes. Therefore, initiation, the actual reason why we take initiation is not so we can get a new name. That's not the reason for initiation. Or that previously I was a bhakta or a bhaktin and I was on the lowest of the totem pole. Anything that had to be done that no one else didn't want to do, then the bhaktins and the bhaktas got a chance to do it. And I'm tired of cleaning the toilets. I need a better engagement. So let me get initiated. And then I'll have das. And when people come up to me and they say, excuse me, bhakta, hey, I'm a das now. And remember who you are. You're Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Call me Prabhu now. I'm on my way up. And if you want to go up with me, you better treat me as I deserve. You got to serve the devotees, and now I'm a devotee. No, actually, initiation is meant to give up our false ego, not to acquire a bigger one. That's the whole idea of initiation. Identify ourselves as Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Even if no one else identifies themselves as Dasa Dasa Anudasa, I'm supposed to do that at the time of initiation if I want to get some value from it. If I want to use it to increase my false prestige or to get free from my sinful reactions, my spiritual master is so kind that he's accepted all my sinful reactions. He looks like he's suffering. But anyhow, I'll give him a donation in case he needs a doctor appointment. No, that's not the idea. Actually, all superiors take sinful reactions if you follow their instructions, and especially if you accept them as superiors. Because we can't learn anything from anyone unless we become submissive. So, little child, just like this little child, what's his name again? Jagan? Amala. You can see the mentality of the children. He was sitting there on the floor, and he didn't, his mother said, come. Nah. I'm showing you who I am. I don't listen to anyone. You may be bigger than I am, but I have a bigger false ego than you do right now. Until she comes and picks him up, and what could he do, you know? Then he surrendered when he has no choice. So we're taught from the beginning of life that we have to become a little humble. When you're a baby, you have no choice. And then as soon as we get a chance, we lord it over our brother and sister. We lord it over our friends. We defy our teachers. We throw rocks into people's glass houses just to show people who I really am, who I think I am. Therefore, unfortunately, in modern society, people are taught, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said, in the beginning, everyone is born as a Shudra, and by modern education, people become less than an animal. It's not that they're not learning technology, learning how to use their play video games on their computer. They're learning all these things. But they're all useless from actually fulfilling the goal of life, because they make one proud that one actually knows something, when one actually is simply cultivating ignorance. Therefore, time comes along, as explains here, because time makes everyone humble, or tries at least to. Because at the time of death, what can one do? All one's assets can't help one at the time of death. Even one's own body goes against one. Therefore, one can't feel humility at the time of death, then he's taken to the Yamadutas and they further educate him. Because the Yamadutas, we've already given up our gross body, now the Yamadutas will educate our subtle body. We may think we're very puffed up and very important, but when you're being dragged through the thorny trees, your subtle body's being ripped to threads, you start thinking, hey, could I possibly have done something wrong? Nah, impossible. Therefore, this soul is so stubborn, even dying doesn't change its mind that it's so great. Even being sent to hell doesn't change its mind. It has to become a rabbit in its next lifetime, being pursued by foxes, until finally after some lifetimes in the lower species of life, one thinks, maybe I did make a mistake. Maybe I'm not as great as I think I thought I was. Next time I'll see if I can do a little bit better. So the whole thing, a little humility, therefore we're learning to bow down. It's not a yoga exercise. It is a yoga, it's the highest yoga exercise. Bowing down. As there was one song, Bow Down, Mister. So Prabhupada used to say, if you don't bow down during this lifetime to your superiors, then at the time of death, when you have, when you leave your body will wind up doing a dandava. You may, even you can't help it. The body falls down. But if you're puffed up enough, don't worry. Like in the battle between the demigods and the demons, even when the demons were killed on the battlefield on the shore of the ocean of milk, then they were so enthusiastic to carry on fighting that they didn't accept the fact that they were dead. So the ghosts came and picked up their dead bodies and continued on fighting. So we want to remain proud and arrogant. Krishna will allow it life after life. That's why we're here right now. We didn't accept in the past, and we're going through the training to at least begin our spiritual life, attempt to come to the spiritual life by Trinada Pisi Nichena. A little humility in relation to Krishna. Not simply being dragged by the material nature and tortured by it, and therefore becoming a little humble, you know. They have our arm back, behind our back, and they're pushing me up, we're going to break it, you know. I surrender. Not that. That we've been doing since time immemorial. It hasn't taught us very much. But to understand how great Krishna is, and how we're tiny, that will save us from so many problems. Then we can learn tolerance, the next stage, like a tree, become tolerant. Tolerance means that we can tolerate other people's faults. Actually, we look at other people and we see our own faults and we think, let me get rid of this person. It reminds me of my faults. So I don't like him. So we can tolerate others and we can tolerate our own faults, or at least get rid of them. Then there's appreciation for others. So that's the beginning of devotional service, to learn how to appreciate that we're not, to understand that we're not the supreme in the universe and all good things come from us. And everything bad comes from everything else, everyone else. To actually learn how to appreciate people's good qualities, that's the beginning of devotion. How can we say we're devoted? We don't like anyone. We're envious of everyone, but I'm a great devotee. I'm a great devotee of my false ego. But that will not help us very much. But when we can see other things and other people in relation to Krishna and see how they're manifesting Krishna's glories, then we can appreciate them. And therefore we can understand whatever good qualities I have, or apparently I'm manifesting by the mercy of, it's by the mercy of others, my teachers in the past. They've shown me an example and given me instructions, and therefore my desires have been molded by them so that Krishna is displaying some good qualities on my behalf. Then one can go further, actually progress towards surrender to Krishna. I mean, this is all part of the surrendering process, but one will actually be able to take care of some of the things that are really bothering us. These other things bother us, but there's some more gross things that bother us, like profit, well actually, wanting material success, wanting to be worshipped, wanting to be loved, wanting to be followers, wanting to get out of this place and become God somewhere else. I can't do it here. Let me find a place where I can do it. Let me buy my own house and live in it with a cat, and the cat will obey me. Bow down, cat. Meow. Aha. I knew I was God. Or merge in Brahman, whatever it is. Then we can actually come to the platform of liberation and begin actual full experience of devotional service. Feel ourselves humble. So we're going to enter the world of absolute humility. Absolute love and humility. So I'll stop there. I think any comments, questions? Yes.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when you were talking about stubbornness, so when it so happens that at least theoretically know what to do, but we recognize that we are stubborn and thus sometimes don't want to do it. So what can we do in such situations so that we overcome that stubbornness?
Stubborn, what is that?
So if we are too stubborn.
Stubborn. Well, material nature will help us. And the devotees will help us if we allow them to. And if we can see a good example of someone who's a little bit more, less stubborn than we are, we could look around, if we want to get free from something, look around for someone who doesn't have what we're trying to get free from, and take them as an example, and even do some service to them, follow their instructions and do some service, and then we'll develop their good qualities. That's how we got our bad qualities. We took someone else as a leader, and we follow their instructions. And we got all those bad qualities by doing it. Their example and instructions. Anything else? Vara Grantra Shmad Bhagavatam Kijai.